This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan with Chuang and Noel in the studio this morning. In 15 minutes, we'll be bringing you the KLCI opening numbers as well as some corporate news from Malaysia. But in the meantime, we're going to take a look at North Korea. Now, the sister of North Korea's leader, Kim Yo-jong has become a focus of global attention after Kim Jong-un failed to appear at a national celebration, sparking some speculation about the health of the supreme leader over there. Now, South Korean officials believe that Kim is alive and well, despite reports suggesting that he was seriously ill. Still, questions linger over who this potential leader is, albeit one with royal blood, and could wrest some control in Pyongyang's military and political elite should the time come. Now, for more on this, we have Dr. Hu Chi-ping, senior lecturer in the Strategic Studies and International Relations Program at the National University of Malaysia, an expert in North Korea affairs. Now, Professor, thank you so much for joining us this morning. What do you make of the latest news surrounding Kim Jong-un's supposed ill health?
Well, I think the rumor has been not based from any credible sources. So the first report was actually made by a South Korean newspaper based in Seoul, and it is called Daily NK. So the first version of the report cited South Korean intelligence that Kim Jong-un has been hospitalized, maybe a surgery has been undertaken, but the report say that he is well. And CNN somehow pick up this information and run it as gravely ill. So from there on, all hell break loose. And we had what we had right now, several versions of the rumors. Either he is well, not well, or already dead. So yeah, this is a very unfortunate kind of a situation.
Professor, what do you think is the real situation? Do you think he's still alive? And if he is, how ill might he be?
So among the North Korean researcher community, most of us actually agree that in general, he's fine. So the most credible evidence of where he is right now is based on a American research website called 38north.org. So that website and its researchers are known for doing research via satellite imaging. So we can see that Kim Jong-un's own train is found to be parked at the Wonsan train station. So this is a city on the East Coast, which is Kim Jong-un's hometown. So we believe that he is there, and South Korean government has repeatedly assuring foreign reporters that Kim Jong-un is in Wonsan and he is well.
So he is well, but perhaps not so well to be able to run the government. Who do you think is running the government now?
I think he's still running the government, definitely, because if you read North Korean's officials' news reporting every day, he's still issuing greetings to world leaders because their greatest celebration on 15 April has just passed. So he is thanking the world leaders who have sending congratulatory message to him. And he's still issuing guidance to North Korean departments and all that. So, yeah, so he's definitely still the one running the country.
Well, nonetheless, these concerns linger because obviously he is quite an overweight person and he does smoke. He has had some health concerns in the past. I think this whole issue brings about the question of succession in North Korea. What is the possible scenarios if and when, obviously when, because all of us are mortal, he does go?
No one has a crystal ball on anybody's health, when they will go, when the regime will collapse. So people have been predicting North Korea's collapse due to their top leader's sudden demise, as in the case of Kim Jong-il. But Kim Jong-il, at the time of his passing, the transition was actually quite peaceful, even though people have doubt whether Kim Jong-il, who is around 27 years old at the time, would be able to consolidate his power. And as we all know now, transition is peaceful. There is no chaos happen in Pyongyang or in the countryside. So you may want to ask another type of question when it comes to the end of North Korea or things like that.
Okay, Professor, let me pivot that a little bit then. Some of the talk has been that Kim Jong-un's sister, Kim Yo-jong, could be a potential successor there. Obviously, we don't know what actually is happening. But could you maybe enlighten us? What do we know about her? And what kind of North Korea could we see from her leadership? What do we know about her at this present point?
Kim Yo-jong was like Kim Jong-un, also studied in Switzerland before. And as early as 2002, Kim Jong-il, their brother, their father, had proudly expressed that his youngest daughter, which is Kim Yo-jong, is interested in politics. So possibly since then, she has been put under the guidance of Kim Jong-il's sister at the Department of Propaganda and Agitation. So, and there is no surprise that after Kim Jong-il's passing, so she has been working in a supporting role. As with other top leaders, siblings, especially sisters, they are all supporting their brother who are ruling the country. So she has inherited her aunt's position now as the director, rising from the deputy's position. So she was also found to be photographed alongside with other senior party officials and military officials under his under her father's regime. And even though there are chances that her influence has been increased due to Kim Jong-un, but she used to be removed from the Politburo position, and now is back in with a promoted position. So I think Kim Jong-un definitely wants to keep his sister close, but we are still not sure whether North Korea, a male-dominated kind of a leadership regime, can accept a female in the leading role, especially as a dictator. So Kim Jong-un himself have to conduct a massive purge in his early years in power to consolidate his position as the supreme leader. So that would be even more daunting for Kim Yo-jong.
Well, Professor, until Kim Jong-un appears in public circles, hale and healthy and hearty, the uncertainty will remain over the country's position in the region. So obviously, there's been some incursions of a military nature in the South China Sea, obviously over the territorial disputes in the oil-rich waters. This uncertainty, how does it lead, how does it contribute or even detract from what's happening in the South China Sea?
Yeah, I think because the news actually break from the United States, so there is a high chance that the US media may try to use this to distract public's attention. And given Trump's capability in managing the COVID-19 outbreak in the United States itself, so possibly this is a good news kind of to distract people's attention. But also, it is also a hidden message to pressure South Korea. So to pressure them into conclude a US-South Korea the defense spending cost sharing agreement. So South Korea definitely doesn't like that because their latest proposal of the increased burden sharing has been rejected by Trump. So yeah, there is a possibility that the US is using this to pressure South Korea.
Ultimately, what does this mean for Malaysia?
I think, well, under the Pakatan Harapan government, Mahathir has strongly advocated for the resumption of our bilateral diplomatic relations with North Korea. And some North Korean delegations had visited Malaysia secretly to discuss this matter. And I think some forms of agreement has been reached. However, as you know, we have a change in the coalition who rules the government right now. So I don't think the current Prime Minister Muhyiddin has been prioritizing the resumption of relations with North Korea or fulfilling Mahathir's pledge to reopen our embassy in Pyongyang. So given the current circumstances, North Korea is still not a priority. And now with Hishamuddin as the foreign minister, his focus would be on the Middle East. And as for North Korea, his performance as a defense minister under the Najib government, I don't think he is familiar with North Korea's, and that it is still not clear to me whether Hishamuddin will work on resuming relations with North Korea, given that our diplomatic relations has not been resumed formally and our embassy in Pyongyang remained closed.
Thank you for taking the time to speak to us this morning, Dr. Hu. That was Dr. Hu Chi-ping, Senior Lecturer in the Strategic Studies and International Relations Program at the National University of Malaysia, more commonly known as UKM. And she's an expert in the North Korean affairs. Quite a wide-ranging conversation there. Pointing out the doubts over the ill health part, I think that was quite fascinating.
Yeah, she mentioned this website called 38north.org, and actually I had a look. And the narrative there is quite consistent with hers in the sense that they're saying that the evil Western media has upplayed and sensationalized the North Korean regime and even the Kim family, right? I mean, when we stand outside, even though we are regional neighbors, we don't really know what's happening there, right? But we do know that they have said certain things about their military strength and they've done certain things with their nuclear power and in terms of testing as well. So it's not a region that is peaceable at this point in time with the South China Sea and the territorial disputes. And all this has to really add to the uncertainty and the volatility.
Yeah, so the regime is very secretive, right? And I think for all of us, I guess, is it stable right now? I think even if Mr. Kim is ill, his son... His sister, is she going to take over? And then there's a question because she's a female. But what's interesting, she's actually married to the son of the person who is number two. The person number two is Cho Rong-hae. He's a military person, and there are talks that maybe he will take over instead. But the fact that she married his son, maybe it's a marriage of strategic interest, and she would therefore be able to hold her place in the regime.
Yes, but whatever's said and done, like you said, Chuang, we don't really know what's going on there. I think it was interesting the angling here, I guess, when you look at the Western media side, is that, oh, they're trying to distract from their own issues here and on the other side of the world. We'll have to keep paying attention and decipher what we can decipher from the information, the little information that we get. Now, right now, we're going into the 9 a.m. news bulletin. And when we come back, the KLCA opening, as well as some corporate news. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.